Module 4, The Art of Adaptation, How to Cook with What You Have Using Adaptable Template Recipes. Here's what you'll learn in this training video. First, we'll look at 8 tips for mastering the art of cooking with adaptable template recipes. Then we'll look at the secret to playing the What's in the Fridge game. Then we'll look at 5 easy tricks for adapting to changes to your schedule. And we'll go through a quick overview of our 10 different template recipes from this module. So first, the eight tips for mastering the art of cooking with adaptable template recipes. So the first tip is to trust your instincts. So the one thing I wish I realized earlier in my cooking career is that even if you don't have much experience as a cook, all those years of eating three or so meals a day, mean that we have an amazing natural catalogue of food knowledge in our heads. So please don't underestimate your natural food instincts. After all, you've been eating for a long time. If you think something is going to taste delicious, trust yourself, it probably will. I can honestly say there aren't many times I think of trying something and it ends up not working. 90% of the time, what I imagine ends up tasting much better than what I even planned. So really encourage you to get excited and to back yourself, even if you're not a very experienced cook. So tip number 2 is to pay attention to the classic flavor combinations. So there's a whole wealth of food knowledge out there. So there's no need to go reinventing the flavor wheel each time you step into the kitchen. Some examples include, bacon and eggs, tomato and basil, goat's cheese and beetroot, fish and lemon, chocolate and hazelnut, honey and almond, apple and cinnamon. You get the idea. So whenever you're eating and you come across a good flavor combination, start to make a mental note of those things so that you can use those combinations in your own cooking. Then tip number 3 is to start with less. So remember, in cooking, it's always easier to add more than it is to take away. By focusing on starting with less ingredients or less courses if you're preparing a whole meal, doing one main course really well rather than trying to pack in, a starter, and a fancy dessert, keeping it simple. If you focus on keeping it simple, you give yourself a chance to get it right and then you can build on your success. So tip number 4 is to read the whole recipe before you start, including the variations. And I know this is something that I'm not that great at doing, but it's really important, particularly for our template recipes. So in the kitchen, it's super important to know where you're heading and how you're going to get there. With template recipes, it's even more important because you're in charge. So you're not just blindly following a recipe. You actually have to make some decisions. So take control and make the decisions that you need to make. Then tip number 5 is to develop a vision or a picture of the end dish in your mind before you start cooking. So you need to know where you're going to get there with the least amount of hassle and fuss. So after you read the recipe, it's important to decide which variation or path you want to follow and have a clear vision in your mind. There's so many times when I step into the kitchen to cook, if I don't have a picture of what I want the finished dish to be, I end up getting muddled and it usually doesn't end up tasting that great. Whereas if I walk in and go, okay, I want it to be a smooth soup. I want it to be really fresh and lovely. That's the kind of thing that kind of guides the rest of your cooking and makes all the difference. Then tip number 6, be prepared to taste and season. So I'm convinced that the ability to taste and season, to add whatever needs adding, is the most important skill in cooking. It's the key difference between a great cook and an okay or mediocre cook, or even a bad cook. So every time you step into the kitchen, be prepared to have a little taste and ask yourself, ask yourself these questions. Could this taste better? And what does it need or what is it lacking to make it taste as good as it possibly can taste? And the only way to learn seasoning is to get in and just try. Then tip number 7 is to take mistakes as a learning experience. So cooking is a natural process and no one can or should expect to get it right every time. I mean, our ingredients are always changing, you know, the weather's changing, so many things are variable. So earlier in the year, I went to a talk by Renee Redzepi, who's the chef at Noma in Copenhagen, which is currently rated the best restaurant in the world. And one of the biggest messages he tells his chefs is that failure is an option. So if the best chef in the world expects things to go wrong from time to time, surely we home cooks should expect it as well and not feel bad about it. And then tip number 8, our last tip, is to have faith in what I call Clancy's Law of Cooking. So you've probably heard of the great Irish philosopher Murphy and his famous law, if anything possibly can go wrong, it will go wrong. When I was little, my dad used to tell us that Clancy's Law was that Murphy was an optimist. Fortunately, I seem to have inherited more of my mum's outlook in life and philosophy. So I've invented Clancy's Law of Cooking, and it runs along these lines. If you think something is going to taste delicious, it probably will. So moving on to the secret to playing the what's in the fridge game. So the art of adaptation is a skill I believe that anyone can learn. It's something that with a little practice and a willingness to risk the odd failure that all cooks can master. And the good news is that you can take baby steps. You don't have to, you know, get there straight away. And one of the things that really helped me move from being a follow the recipe cook to more of a freestyle cook in the kitchen, and even, you know, to writing my own recipes and creating my own recipes, is a game that I like to play myself. And I call it the what's in the fridge game. And you've probably guessed what it involves. Yep, it's all about just cooking what you have in the house. And it really made the biggest difference to me. And part of this started out of laziness. You know, I'd be coming home from work and I was tired and I couldn't even be bothered stopping in to pick something up for dinner. I was just like, I'll just make it up out of what I've got in the fridge. And it really was the game changer for me in terms of cooking, and it really started me just cooking from the heart and cooking from my instincts. So really encourage you to give this a go. So it can really make a difference to your how well you cook on your own. So the rules of the game are: rule number 1 is that you can't duck out to the shops and pick up an ingredient. It all has to be things that you already have in the house and garden. Although, you know, if you want to knock on the door and borrow a cup of sugar from the neighbours, that's okay. And then the second rule, and the last rule, is that there is no need to eat a failure. So if it doesn't work on the odd occasion that it doesn't, so just be nice to yourself. Order out in some Thai food or some pizza or whatever you like, or start from scratch and make something else to eat. But don't force yourself to eat something that really disgusts you. But to be honest, you know, it won't be that often that you come across massive failures. So some more tips on playing the what's in the fridge game. So we kind of covered this before, but it's important to begin with the end in mind. And for me, this is the most important step to when I'm writing recipes and inventing new dishes. I always take the time to look at the ingredients that I have on hand and then imagine what it is that I'm going to cook. Until I have a picture in my mind, I don't start cooking. Sure, like the picture sometimes changes along the way, but it's really important to know where you're heading before you start. And then another tip is to learn the classic flavor combinations. So I recently saw a demonstration by the pastry chef from cutting edge New York restaurant WD50. And one of the things that surprised me the most was his comments that he tends to avoid out there or completely novel flavor combinations. His logic was that you didn't need to reinvent the wheel, and that there's a reason that the classics are classics. So, you know, I think he kind of sums that up well. So here are a few of my favorite combinations to get your thinking. So tomato and basil, bread and cheese, beans and dill, lamb and mint, peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter and honey in our house, lime and chili, and coriander in with that, fish and fennel, zucchini and mint, chicken and tarragon, apple and cinnamon, chocolate and mint, chocolate and orange. So you get the gist there. And finally, it's really important to remember to keep it simple. So apart from burning things on the odd occasion that that happens, I find that my biggest kitchen failures occur when I get carried away and add too many elements to a dish. I end up with a muddled mess and it's not very nice. But since I started cooking with 5 ingredients, this hasn't been such a big problem for me, but it's where I see a lot of beginners making mistakes. So keep reminding yourself as you're starting out that in cooking in particular, that less is always more. So now I'll move on to 5 easy tricks for adapting to changes in your schedule. So actually, before we go into that, so they say there are only the 2 certainties in life, death and taxes, but I would argue that in the modern world we should include a third, and that's change. Whether you're someone who thrives on change or a self-professed change phobic, we need to face the fact that there will be changes in our schedule. This means we can set ourselves up for success so that when our plans change, we are able to adapt with a minimum of effort and stress. So here are 5 tips. So tip number 1, anticipate the change. So take it as a given that there will be change, then try and gauge how much volatility you need to accommodate on a regular basis. Over time, you'll notice patterns that will help you plan for the most common disruptions. For example, in our house, there are 2 things that commonly happen at the last minute. The most common is my Irishman having to travel at the last minute and he's away for 1 or 2 nights. Then the next most common occurrence is having last minute guests for dinner. So I think of those things and I've kind of got a little bit of a system so that I can cope with those changes when they do occur. Then the second trick is to build a backup plan for the most common changes. So once you know the most common occurrences, you can think about backup plans that would allow you to adapt. This doesn't need to be specific, just a general idea of what you'll do. So back to my examples, so given that my Irishman often needs to travel, I make sure at least 1 or 2 of my protein types each week have a long shelf life. So if he does go away, I can leave them for the next week. A couple of steaks in the freezer, some cryovac meat in the fridge, dried lentils or unopened packages of halloumi or tofu. And I do the same with veg. So some are short shelf life veg, like bags of baby spinach and salad leaves. And then I make sure I also have long shelf life veg like carrots, cabbages and celery. So if we don't need to eat them, they'll last for the following week. And then in the case of unexpected visitors, my second example, I usually get at least 24 hours notice of when we are having people over. So I know there'll be enough time for someone, me or my Irishman, to go drop by the supermarket or go to the butcher or get whatever we need. So usually that doesn't end up being too big of a problem. Okay, so then moving on to trick number 3. So don't choose all perishable or all short shelf life foods. I've kind of alluded to that in the previous point. But by including some produce which will last for longer than a week, like cabbage, cauliflower, zucchini, cucumbers, carrots, celery, broccoli, etc., it maximizes your flexibility because it doesn't matter if you leave them for the next week. Same goes for protein. So I mentioned before, cryovac meat is great, or tofu or halloumi, or even frozen protein. And then also dried goods like dried legumes can all add a good margin of safety. So kind of if you have that balance, it makes it easier to manage. Trick number 4 is when unexpected changes do happen, perform a little home food preservation. So when your plans change, have a quick look in the fridge and see if there's anything that's going to go bad before you'll have a chance to eat it. It only takes a few minutes, but it can make a massive difference to your waste levels. Think about whether you can freeze the ingredient for later, or maybe you might like to partially cook it and do a little like home mise en place that will help prolong its shelf life. And then trick number 5 is to have some fun with it. Sometimes the best cooking discoveries happen when you're under pressure, so just keep that in mind. So moving on to our 10 template recipes, adaptable template recipes. So I just thought I'd quickly run you through these. So there's a chunky veg soup. There's a smooth veg soup, one of my faves, a big ass salad, which is a great thing to have in your repertoire, a quick stir fry. Stir fries are awesome for quick dinners. A mild and creamy curry, which is kind of an Indian base, one of my favorite curry recipes. Then we've got ketchup and baked in inverted commas legumes because they're not actually cooked in the oven. A warm dinner salad, which is awesome for both warmer and cooler weather, but when you want something light, but you don't feel like cold food. And then we have the kind of odd sounding pan-fried protein plus sauce plus salad, and I encourage you to have a look at that recipe because it's actually not as crazy as it sounds. And then we've got kebabs with sauce and salad. And then at number 10, we've got 5-minute sauces because as you'll see, sauces can make a massive difference to a meal. They can really bring things together. So I've just included 10 of my favorite, super quick sauces in as recipe number 10. So now we're up to homework time. So it's time to take action. So what you need to do is just encourage you to set aside one meal in the next week for you to have a go at playing the what's in the fridge game. Then step number 2, when it's time to cook, have a good look in your pantry, fridge and freezer. Then step 3 is to browse through the template recipes in this module, so they'll be underneath this video. Choose one that you think is going to work and or that you feel like and take it from there. And then step 4 is to report back and let me know what you came up with. Share your successes or otherwise in the comments on the homework page, and there's a link for the homework page in the notes for this module. So really looking forward to hearing how you guys get on with playing the What's in the Fridge game. It is really good fun. And what's up next? Module 5, our final module for Solve Your Dinner Dilemma this year. It's called How to Stay Inspired and Motivated.